Well, this morning I want to dedicate this message, to you moms. And, I always want to honor my own mother. And my father passed away this year, several months back. And so I just got to go up and spend a few days with my mom. That was always a blessing. When you live far from your mom, you can go and you can see all the stuff that needs done in the house. And so, my wife had to actually remind me. She said, "Hey, don't forget, don't take tasks over relationships. Mike, your mom probably needs you more than you just, being a construction worker in her house." And I said, "Man, thanks for telling me that, because I needed to hear that, because that's exactly what I was doing, working morning till night and getting up a couple hours for everybody else, running to Lowe's, coming back with the material, you're doing all that business." So anyways, I know Mother's Day is not always pleasant for everybody. Some of you, your moms have already passed. Some of you have had, as moms, you've had some of your children pass. My mom's one of them. My older brother's already passed away. And so I know it can be actually even difficult for you. So today, I hope this message, here's the way I view it. I hope you view it this way. My dog, every time my dog needs a whipping, which is hardly anymore, and he's blind, then you feel bad whipping him. I don't know why. He can't see it coming, So... but man, it's time and he's done something wrong, I'd call him over and he'd get in the trash or something. I'd say, "All right, you're getting it." I'd take off my belt. I'd say, "You're getting it, man." And he would turn around and he would tighten up and you could see the muscles in his back, and I'd whip him and he'd take off. And if he needed another, I'd say, "Get back." I'd make him come back and he'd skidge and then he'd tighten up and take it. So I just want to tell you, hey, Mom, I love you and I love my mother. She's played a major, major role in my spiritual life. But, you might hear something today that rubs you wrong. I have a little regret on that area. Well, you know what you do? Please take God's word as correction. Don't take that as that's discouraging. We can all focus on the things that we're not or the things we've done wrong. That would not be the point of me saying that. So if you need a correction, you know what you do? Just take it. Woman up. And step up to the plate and just take it and say. And then God will give you an opportunity to pass that on to somebody else too. That's what I love about it. And so guys, don't snooze on this message, because even though, you're not a mother, I hope not. And today you can't really kind of, you got to be careful of that, don't you? So some of you might identify as a mother today. I don't know, but that's strange. I was supposed to be a joke. What's up, man? Nobody's clapping today. Nobody's laughing today. But, guys, Paul will say in the book of Thessalonians, as he's making disciples, taking people that are new Christians and maturing them up, he says, he compares it to two different things. He does use the example of a father, but he uses the example of, as a nurse cherisheth her children. Speaking of a mother, that nurse, a lot of times we call it nursing, when a mom can feed her child from her insides and right next to her heart. Paul uses that example. So all of these principles, and by the way, in our relationship with Jesus, he's the head, right? He's the leader. He's always the male. The Trinity in the Bible is always male. So that puts us, the Bible calls us that we're like the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. So as men, even when I read a passage on one of my favorite books I've ever read that's helped me a lot, I've read it three times, is a book written to women. And you know why I first read it? I first read it to just understand women a little better, And I'm 300 books in now, and I'm still struggling with it, That was a joke, too. But no, seriously, business. But as I read the book, I found myself getting very emotional throughout it, because God was speaking to me, using Scripture, just saying, "Hey, this is something you need." And so I've highlighted, read it. I've bought that book for probably 12 different women now. And friends of mine, or a pastor friend of mine, I'm saying, "Hey, I bought your wife a gift, and I wanted to give this to her, So anyways, guys, don't sleep on this one. And everybody has a mom, and we know a lot of different moms. My mom was a project mom. We grew up in the projects, very similar, looked just like Lincoln Homes down there, but in Barberton, Ohio, which, means she was loud. She corrected everybody. That was back in the day when you could do that, Some kid be getting slapped. I remember this kid, a friend of mine, actually went to the laundromat down there and stole the candy out of this machine. That was back when you get in the vending machines. If you were little, you could get your hand in there. and he was pulling this candy out, and then we'd buy candy from him, you know. He stole all this candy. I remember his mom whipping him. She was dragging him up there and just whipping his tail, you know. And I was on the back porch, and he's crying. He's screaming, and my mom's like, you know what he did? You know, she's giving me the business. That's what's going to happen to you. You know, I'll turn that lady loose on you. And we're like, oh, my gosh, you know. So my mom was a project mom, and even my friends feared her, and she would slap them too. And that was back in the day, though, when their moms and their parents would say, hey, thanks, you know. And, you know, you grew up with the Brute commercial, right? Thanks, I needed that, you know. So beautiful moms, rich moms, you know, poor moms. There's all kinds of moms out there. There's, you know, we call them helicopter moms, soccer moms. They're supportive moms, all that. But listen, what I want to talk to you today is we want to focus on what God focuses on, right? A godly mom. Being the mom that the Bible says you should be, to be like God. When you read about moms in the Bible and you study the word mom or mother, and I've looked up all those words in Scripture, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, a lot of people like Proverbs 31, you know, because they like to talk about this woman. And if you ever read Proverbs 31, any ladies in here, you like Proverbs 31 or you don't like it? Because you read Proverbs 31 and you realize that, who is this lady? I'll tell you who it is. Wonder Woman! She's like a superhero. Like, it's you read it and it almost discourages you, because I'm like, what doesn't she do? Like, she does everything in there. Towards the end of that chapter, though, it just says, you know, when you're a godly mom, it says, and your kids are going to rise up, they're going to call you blessed. Proverbs 31 and verse 30 says, you know, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So I want to talk to you about being a God-fearing woman. Favor is deceitful. Hey, moms, I know you want your kids to like you. Big problem today. Moms and dads too, but the message is geared towards moms today. So moms want their kids to like them. Moms want their kids to be friends with them. I've seen moms that want their kids' friends to be their friends. And I just want to tell you this morning, grow up. Favor, it's deceitful. It's overrated. Beauty, as you get older in life, especially after having a kid. I've had people accuse me of being pregnant a few times. I'm like, I've never had a child and I look this way. You know, so, you know, you've literally wrecked your whole world and wrecked your whole body to bring life into this world. And you learn as you get older, you know, beauty's vain. Wrinkles, they just come. You can't stop it. Well, you can a little bit. Today, you know, we do got a lot of chemicals out there that can help that type of thing, you know. So my girl's been asking me to do a little Botox lately myself, you know. But I'm not convinced of that, you know. Used to be I wanted to do steroids. Now I'm considering Botox. Women who fear the Lord, they'll be praised. So, Mom, the Bible says that we should call you blessed. A woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Ain't that crazy? You praise the Lord, you'll be praised. I like that. That's not what your motive is, not to be praised. Your motive is to fear the Lord, to give honor to Him. And therefore, a byproduct of that, people will just say, that is a blessed woman. That is a godly woman. And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:2, which is most people quote this one, it's the famous one, where the Bible says we should honor our father and mother. So, moms, today we do want to honor you. We want to give you honor. And, you know, honor is one of those things where I guess a definition of honor would be we fix a high value to you. We look at our moms and we're supposed to bring them honor. And this is tough because some of you would say, my mom was terrible. My mom was a bad mom, and I think my mom would even admit it. Hey, we got that story in this room too. And some of you, I feel bad for you because your mom did the best she could, and we all know it wasn't enough. But isn't that all of our lives? You give the best you have, and the Bible says you're going to fall short. All of our human effort, it's not good enough. It'll never measure up. That's why the Bible talks about honoring your father and mother. Some of you have been seriously abused by your own mom. And what you need to do is through God's word, as you grow, God's going to give you grace and forgiveness in your heart. And you're going to be able to forgive her and honor her. I stood up at my dad's funeral when I preached it here this past year. And I told everybody what a great man my dad was. Now, do you think my dad was a perfect man? I know you think I am, but not my dad, you know. I wanted to honor my dad. Anybody that's close with me would know, I would probably have shared with you some of the things where my dad has fallen short in my day, in my life. And some of it, you know, crossed over. You know, it's one of those things I'm just like, you ever look back on that today? I'm thinking, man, if he'd have done that today, my dad would have been in jail, you know. My mom would be in jail. She might be in prison today. If she did. But, you know, before my brother died, and he looked at me and just said, man, you remember that time? And he told the story where he got beat. When I say beat, I'm not talking about, you know, today we say, he got a correction. I got a spanking. No, the belt came off and it did not stop. Like, it was bad. But before my brother died, he goes, you remember that night? And I said, oh, I totally remember that night. He goes, man, we deserved that, didn't we, Mikey? And I said, we totally deserved that. That was bad, man. That was really, really bad. I was glad to have parents that did correct me, honestly, even at times when it was extreme, you know. And I don't know, sometimes I fear my mom might listen to my messages, and she has before. You know, I'm just like, and so, Mom, I don't know if you're listening to this, but if you, should I tell them the hamburger story? Are you flipping them? Remember that? Huh? That was a whacking I got when I was little. I was smart mouthing in the kitchen. She's flipping hamburgers in the skillet. And so she slapped me with that greasy spatula. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm scarred for life. That's why I grew hair. It's like, you owe me an apology. And she swung it again. I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm going to honor you, and I want to honor my mom and fix a high value. And so I just pray for you today. Hey, do you guys remember when Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus? Do you know what he valued his relationship with Jesus? You know what he valued Jesus as? About 30 pieces of silver. That's all he thought he was worth. He betrayed him. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, you know, a good measure of how much you value your mom? Where's your treasure at? Today's Mother's Day. How much energy, time will you spend on her? What about a gift? Is she worth 30 cents to you? You know, like, I mean, that's just hardcore, but it's just the truth, isn't it? And if you're sitting here today going like, man, I'm a terrible son. I'm a terrible daughter. The day just started. It's okay. Even if she lives away from it, you can make up for it. And I'll tell you what, my mom, you know what means more to her than anything? If I ever write her a card, and not just give her a card, but write in it. I'll put a gift card in it. She always says, Mike, your words touch me deeply. So, man, get after it today. With your mama, and let her know that you honor her and value her, but you've got to do that with your bucks. It's kind of like saying, you know, I love Jesus, you know. I don't give a dime to him. I don't spend any time with him. I don't read the Bible, but, well, you're fooling yourself. That's just the Christian thing to say, isn't it? Man, I love the Lord, you know. I love my wife. Well, you talk to her on the right day, she might say differently, you know. So, and by the way, my mom here recently, I'll tell you this whole story, but my mom was born into a family, a pretty big family. Her brothers and her sister was always in a lot of trouble. They grew up in the projects of Barberton, Ohio, and that's where I was born into, too. They never changed. My grandparents died in government housing, and her parents. But my grandpa was an alcoholic, and it was rough. He was a rough, I just hear stories. I was afraid of this grandpa. This is the grandpa that, you know, there was just open drugs in the house and even on his dresser and things. And I would ask what it is as a kid, and I'd always, my mom would hush me up, you know. He was an alcoholic. And my mom grew up under that. And she had rough brothers. Like, she was afraid of them, but everybody in the neighborhood was afraid of them too. Later in life, she met my dad. She got pregnant really young by my dad. My mom got pregnant at 14 years old, had my brother when she was 15, and the reason why? She was looking for love. She really was, because she never experienced it. And my dad came along. He was 19. And you know what he did? He went to the military. He married my mom, took care. And by the way, they've been together all these years, and he just passed away. Isn't that pretty special, isn't it? And so, but my mom had to take care of my dad. Like, well, I was right pre-junior high is when he got disabled. So from an alcoholic dad to rough brothers to a guy that loved her, and all of a sudden he becomes crippled. And so my mom became his caretaker. All these years, she just took care of my dad. And then eventually my brother, you guys know, got addicted to heroin. And before you know it, he moved back home. Before you know it, he took them down. The ship was sinking, man. And it got really bad until finally he overdosed in the house. And they came in with Narcan. And the first two times it woke him back up and saved his life. The third time it was too late. So my brother died in my mom's house. So here, my dad, we buried my dad. And then a contractor just came into my parents' house just a few weeks ago. And said, you know, we want to repair your roof. That we think there's hail damage. If we can get the insurance company, you know, the gig. That's what they do. And anyways, my mom calls me and says, hey, Mike, is this thing legit? And I said, Mom, listen, it probably is. But don't sign anything. He came back to the house, and he's a good talker. And my mom called me up and said, well, you're going to be disappointed in me because I signed. I said, what did you sign? She tells me what she signed, you know. I was like, Mom, don't do that. And so the insurance company got involved and did give my mom some money and say, here, yeah, you got some legit. I said, well, Mom, you don't have to hire him. You get how that works. I told her how it works in the real world. You should have a couple estimates. But I said, don't show him what the insurance company gave you because he's going to take the max amount. Let's just play this thing fair and do it right. And well, he came in and talked to her. And so she says, well, Mike, I gave him all the paperwork and the check, you know. Oh, my gosh. So I just went home last week, and I'm livid, you know. I'm fired up. I said, tell this guy to come to the house. I'll meet him tomorrow morning. So I drove into Ohio, and he came in the house, and I'm sitting there. Well, and first of all, you know, he walks in the door, and the guy looks like the Hulk. You know, his waist is this big, and his arms, like they're pushing this polo shirt out, you know, pop. I mean, this guy is rocked, you know. He walks to the door. I was like, ooh, I better get my adrenaline going because I'm in trouble here, you know. But I'm sitting on the couch, and the first words out of his mouth was this. First of all, I want you to know, Michael, that I have a contract with your mother. That was the wrong thing to say to me. I jumped up off that couch, and I just said, let me see that contract because I'll rip it up in front of you. I said, you don't do that. My dad just died. You come into a lady that's grieving and make her sign some papers to try to get 12 grand from her. I said, I'm not. I kicked him out of the house, you know. And but I had to make a few phone calls and do my homework. And God softened my heart. And I called the guy back up. And the next day we met at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I just said, hey, I want to talk to you about a few things. And this guy apologizes. That was the bad method. I'm sorry. You know, and he's a salesman. I get it. Sometimes you think they're gross, but at the end of the day, they are trying to pay their bills. I get that, don't you? Car salesmen, you know, sometimes people think, man, they're all sleazy. No, they're not all sleazy. You know, they got to make a living. I get it. So anyways, I tell you that story just to tell you this. My mom has experienced quite a bit of abuse through the years from men in her life. My dad didn't really abuse her. He just was unfortunately disabled. I am the last man standing. And I hear that some guy walks into her house. So I told this guy that. I said, alcoholic dad, my brother died in this house. Then I hear of another guy coming and took advantage of her. I said, I'm just telling you right now, I don't care how big you are. I have no trouble ripping your head off, laying you out in the front yard, and then calling the paper to take pictures. And I told him the story after I softened up a little bit. Do you guys remember when Jesus Christ was born? Do you remember Mary? It says this. Here they are in a stable. They're in a barn. They're in the cold of night. I don't even care if it was the cold of night. Any child that comes into this world out of a warm fluid in a stomach and you pop out to the cold oxygen air, man, they're immediately, they want to cry, right? That's why they force them, try to get the liquid out of them so they can, you know, get them lungs going. And so the Bible says that when Jesus came into the world and Mary birthed him, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I mean, real primitive, but she wrapped him. Why? Because that's what moms do. He was cold, crying, and wants to comfort him. And so It says she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and then eventually she laid him in a manger because it's all she had. She found what she could for a bassinet. I'm sure there was straw, something comfortable in there, because that was her child, and that's how mothers are hotwired. You wrap them and lay them in a manger. And I bound to determine, when my mom goes out, I will be the one to put a blanket on her, and I will be the one to lay her to rest. She did it for me. I want to be the last man standing. I want to be able to do that for her. I want to honor her that way. And moms, I want you to experience the same things. You know what mothers do? They do just that. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last week, I was informed last week that, man, that was a great message you preached. I said, man, thank you. Did you realize we didn't turn to one passage of Scripture? I said, well, thanks for saying that too. Jeez. I quoted a lot of Scripture, but we didn't. It's a hard when you're preaching a whole book of the Bible in 1 week. It's hard to go to a passage and nail it down, so that's what was going on there. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look what Paul says in verse 7. He tells this church, 1 Thessalonians 2:7, says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. For ye remembered, brethren, our labor and travail, for our laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable and unto any of you, we preach unto you the gospel. Ye are witnesses in God, how holily and justly, unblamably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, and know we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father. Now it changes to a father, but it starts off with a nurse. And I know it don't say mother, and if you can remember like the Moses story, Moses' mom wants to save him alive. She wraps him and puts him in that ark and down. Why? Because, you know, the house of Pharaoh over here, Pharaoh's daughter, is like, what is this out here? And bam, it's a child. Of course, and then you remember Moses' sister comes along and goes, I know somebody that can take care of him. You know, and they're like, hey, let's get one of the Hebrew ladies to nurse him. They use the word nurse. And God is good. And by the way, there's a principle there, moms. There's a principle there with your own kids. For his honor and glory. They're not yours. They're his. They're on loan. And it's the principle of, and if you let them go and trust God with them, he came back. It's a beautiful little story. But she nursed him. Of course, we associate nursing with nursing, you know, mainly the feeding, which is a big part of what nursing is. But looking at this passage here, it says, we were gentle among you. Moms should be the gentleness. In today's age where men are not men anymore, you know, it's sad. There's a lot of men that stay at home. They play the mom role. You know, but the way it worked in Scripture is it says, we were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children. Two words there I really like. They're sweet words. One is gentle. Being gentle is good nature and easy. It's such an important word in the Bible that when you get saved and God puts his Spirit in you, the book of Galatians says there's fruit of the Spirit, and there happens to be nine of them, all called fruit. They work together. But one of those fruit, as it says, is gentleness. It's important as men and women of God that we have this character trait of being gentle. You know, we shouldn't be brawlers and bruisers, you know, and lose our cool all the time. The Bible says that wisdom from above in James is first and foremost. It talks about being pure, and it says it's gentle. It uses one of the words there, it says gentle. Wisdom from above is gentle. And you know how sometimes you can always tell when somebody's losing an argument, you know, or they want to win the argument, because a lot of times they end up yelling. You end up wanting to intimidate somebody and act like you're going to, you know, rip their head off and throw them in the front lawn, you know. You say that stuff. And the Bible says, you know, wisdom from above is gentle. So a lot of times when people that lose their cool, they're totally in their flesh. I'm not saying it's always wrong to be angry. There's a good time to be angry. I mean, I should have been angry with this man. But, you know, I apologized about being, I didn't have to be a jerk, you know. I didn't have to get myself in a position where I was going to get my butt kicked in front of my mom. That's probably what was, my nephew was there. My nephew goes, Uncle Mike, you jumped off that couch, man. I thought you was going to hit this dude. I was like, yeah, I would have. But I was afraid he might hit me back, you know. But what moms do is, it's compared to here as being gentle to people. Moms have a gentleness to them, and so the toughest little boy in the world, as soon as you fall and hurt yourself and you got a mom or dad, 99% of the times, little ones will run towards mom because you find gentleness there. You find kindness there, nurture there, you know, typical dad. You know how you do it. And we need dads too, so don't think I'm saying, you know, this is wrong, but moms bring the gentleness. It says, we cherished you. We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth. See, that word cherish, I like it because it's warm. It's tender. That's what the word cherish is. And moms, that's what we count on you for. You bring the gentleness and you bring a tender care. Like, quick story, we're in our house and we got this cat showed up at our house. Like, we got a cat. We got the cat because we had mice. And done his job. He's not a real friendly cat. You come over, you ain't going to get to pet him because he's going to leave, you know. But we got cats, a couple cats in the neighborhood that have been visiting us. And one cat showed up the other day. Guys, this is the prettiest cat I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not lying. I go out, half his face is black. The other half is like orange and spot. Like, he's the neatest looking thing. And I walk right out and I said, what are you doing here? And he starts padding the deck. And I was just like, man, he's a friendly little guy. I scooped him up and found out, well, man, he wasn't so friendly. He scratched my arm, you know, and he just, I could tell he hasn't used to being held, you know. I was like, man, you must be a female. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke, too. I didn't mean that. But I walk by and I tell my guys, I said, I think this is somebody's cat. It's too cute, you know. And so before you know it, I walk by and there's a box out there with a blanket in it. I said, who set up the bedroom and on the deck? You know, and it was two of them got together, did that, and figured out how to, okay. And so I go there at night, I flick on the light, and look out, he's sleeping in the box. I'm like, hey, guys, we got a cat. We got a dog, too, you know. And so then I said, don't feed him. I think this is somebody's cat. If you feed him, he might stay here. There's some little lady probably wondering where, you know, Fluffy's at, and we're feeding her cat. You know, don't give him a lot of loving and just to see if he'll go. And I don't think he's super skinny. Like, I don't think he's, like, starved to death. Then I could justify feeding him. So everybody's like, okay, okay, okay. And what happens? I get home, and next to the box and the blanket, there's a bowl of water. There's cat food sitting out there. And I was like, hey, we got a cat. This is somebody's cat. I'm trying to figure out all the psychology ways to get him to quit doing it. And so yesterday, I get home. And from my trip, and I go by, and I just stand there looking out at the back deck, and my wife's got a little scoop with cat food in it. She's dumping the cat. She's petting him. He's rubbing all over, and she stands there and looks, and there I am. Like, what in God's name? She said, what am I supposed to do? He's crying at the door. And I was just like, you know what? That's this gentleness in you. We've had raccoons on our back deck. You want me to catch them and kill them? Because they dump her plants over. What about the possum the other night that came and ate that cat food? I seen him. You're not, and she's mad at the possum. We just need to kill them possum. Oh, because he's not cute. Not fluffy and cute. But all of a sudden, this little cat, you got this little, and I know what it is. There's something in, it is a cute cat. I'm not going to lie, you know. So when they're not looking, I've given them a few scratches on the head myself. But Paul uses a lot of words in this passage, and I just want to say, Mom, these are things that you do, and we're grateful for it. Paul said, you know, you guys were dear to us. I mean, my mom's made me worthy of her love, you know. That's what moms do. Or he uses the word labor and travail in there. Moms work, don't they? Moms work. I heard it once said, a little kid in preschool, they just said, what's your moms and dads do, you know? And this little boy spoke up and he goes, well, my dad works at work. And he says, but my mom, she works at work. Then she comes and works at home. I get it. That's what moms do. They labor, man, night and day, don't they? That's always. It never ends. That's why we've experienced this in our home where we're like, you know what we want to do? Is we want to put you at home to raise our children at home. So we're going to sacrifice the income so that you can stay home and not have to go to work. And it took about probably less than 2.5 hours to realize this is a lot of work and I'm not getting paid for it, you know. It's harder at home. And you know that if you've ever taken the time to be home. I was forced to one time. I was forced. I didn't have a job. My wife went out, so I was left with one of our girls when they were little. And I didn't last a week. I said, Becky, they're going to make a billboard out of me and put it on every city, like up there, and just say, do not shake babies. Everybody would drive by and it's like, Becky, that's terrible. Who would shake a baby to death? And I'm like, that would be me, because that's I remember feeling so frustrated. I'm like, I'm missing something here. That little nurture button that, that my wife just seemed to be born with, you know. So moms, this is what you do. We love it. We appreciate you. The gentleness, the cherish, all that stuff that you bring with you, that's what we need. And we need dads too. Men are soft today because dads are removed from the home. You know, it takes both. And you read what it says about a father, we can maybe deal with that on Father's Day. But let me give you 3 points to take with you today that the Bible says this is what godly moms do. This is what they look like. So the first one's going to be this. Godly moms. Now listen, you want your kids to be endeared to you. You want them to like you. All of these things, I totally understand that, right? You want your kids to go and be successful in life, marry the right person. You just want all the, that's just normal, and you should desire that. But listen, godly moms always lean towards the spiritual over the physical. Godly moms will lean towards Jesus instead of yourself. You see this in Scripture, and I want you to know that. But you know what makes a good mom? This is real simple, but it's true. You know what makes a great godly mom? Just be a good Christian. Just be a godly person. Do the things that the New Testament says, and you know what it does? Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You just be a godly woman. You know how it is. That's why the Bible says bodily exercise profits little. Don't get wrapped up into bodily exercise. But it doesn't say you shouldn't exercise. It's not saying that. It's just saying if you'll focus on the godliness, you'll be convicted that you're fat. That's how that works. It's not that I just want to look lean, lean, perfect. But when you're godly, you're like, you know what? I shouldn't do this, or I shouldn't look this way, or I got to stop eating this. It's not good for my body, you know. And nothing's wrong with cake, but when you're having it 2 and 3 times a day, we got a problem, right? We got recovery on Friday nights for cake eaters, you know. It's okay. Lean towards Jesus instead of yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. To be godly, just seek God's kingdom, Mom, not your kids. Seek God's kingdom, not your kids. Kingdom first. God and His glory first. Do you guys go over to Galatians chapter 4? First set Corinthians, then we got the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. There's a kind of a story, you know. Do you guys remember Abraham and Sarah? They're old, and God says, you're going to have a kid. And they're like, okay. Well, they couldn't wait. Abraham says, well, here's this. And they grabbed the bondwoman. And Abraham had a relationship with her, and before you know it, they have a child, Ishmael. But it wasn't God's promised seed. He said, no, I told you it was going to come through you guys, through Sarah. And so they had a kid, but it wasn't really their kid. They called that a kid of the flesh, the Bible. And then all of a sudden, God supernaturally allowed this old couple to birth a child into the world, right? And which was Isaac. And so the problem becomes now we got a problem. Now we got a split home and some trouble here. What do we do with this kid over here? Wasn't God's plan. This was our plan. So now we got Ishmael sitting here, you know, kind of a, if you can think of a half Egyptian and a half Jew. And God says, that wasn't my promised seed. That wasn't how it was supposed to work. So what do you do with this? Well, look at Galatians chapter 4. If you read, look at verse 23. For it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Okay, what do we do with this? But he who is of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. It wasn't God's plan. They conjured up this plan. But he of the free woman was by promise. It was a promise by God, and they just could not trust him, you know. So let me get to the skinny of this thing. The skinny of it is, look down at verse 33. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? What do you do here with this situation? Well, it's clear. Just cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. it's not so clear when you put your emotions in the story. Put your emotions in there. Put your mom gut in there and your mom heart in there. All of a sudden it says, yeah, just cast her out. So the bond woman and the child just, God said, I'll take care of them. And if you read the story, there's some beautiful things in there. Even though this was not a promised seed, the baby goes out and the baby cries. God hears the cry of that child and comes down. I love the story. There's a lot of beautiful things about our God in here. But I just want you to know that what you have to do as a mom is lean towards the spiritual instead of yourself and how you feel. So the flesh cast out the bondwoman and the free woman that represents the Spirit of God. There's a lot of things that being a godly mom or a godly woman, you're going to have to cast out the flesh, even though you feel and it's so precious. But she, you know, it's just strange. But a lot of people can't do this. You know, they're getting ready to go out to eat. And all of a sudden from the back seat, you hear a little peep out there. Someone's like, I don't want to eat here. Or you get there and you're like, man, we're tight on money. Everybody's getting water. And you get there and you're like, I don't want water, you know. And a lot of times you'll see parents, okay, you know, whatever. Give her the phone so she'll shut up. Give her a tablet. Give her a screen. So, you know, that's parenting today. They call it gentle parenting. You know what that is? That's non-biblical parenting. It's what that is. Parent. They need a parent. They need a guide. You know, don't mean you need to be mean all the time. I'm all about gentle. I'm all about cherishing your kids. But you better lean towards doing right. Lean towards the spiritual over leaning towards the physical. And there's parents that'll go beyond, above and beyond. And they'll rack credit card debt up just so that your kids can have those shoes and those clothes and you know you can't afford it. Instead of teaching your kids the character and the fortitude to stand when they don't have it. We don't want to teach that because why? Because our heart says, it's true, everybody else has that. I've heard parents say, my wife has said this before, I'm like, she ain't going out looking like that. And they're like, but everybody's wearing that. Oh, okay. I hope next week everybody's not naked. What are we going to do, send her out naked, you know? For the love of Pete, let's lean towards the spiritual instead of the physical. And so cast out that bondwoman. When it's fleshly, make sure you take that in whatever case it is, as a parent, but as a mom. Okay, everybody, this is going to be a big one. If you could go to 2 Timothy, I'm going to stay here for a bit as we start wrapping up this first point. 2 Timothy, kind of towards the end of your Bible. Go to 2 Timothy chapter, well, first of all, we'll start in chapter 3. You guys know that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's proud for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all. We all know that verse because we had to memorize it in discipleship. A lot of people, what you got to do, though, is bump to verse 15. As Paul's writing this to Timothy, a young pastor, yeah, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But look what he says in verse 15. Everybody? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That's how he starts us off. You got that as a kid. Your mama taught you the Bible. I love hearing Hollywood stars. You know, you'll hear, like, you ever hear a clip of Denzel Washington? I remember the year he lost his mom and he was in an interview. And by the time the interview is over, he was crying, man. And he's like, man, I didn't even cry at my mom's funeral. But they were asking him the right questions. And he was talking about his mom. He said, I learned the scriptures from my mom. You ever hear Steve Harvey talk about his mom? That guy, man, he's just like, my gosh, my mom was a saved woman. She was born again, and we were at church three times a week. She taught me a lot of things. And even dressing, he always tried to dress to the nines, you know, because his mom taught him. And it's really sweet hearing these guys talk about, because they learned some of these principles at home. It starts in the home. Don't blame the church for not teaching the Bible to your kids. That's taught in the homes. We try to back your home up as the whole goal of our children's ministry. We can give you help. We can do things like that, but it's your job. They live with you 7 days a week. They're here for 2 hours on Sunday. And you're going to blame us for not... It's like blaming the school. Sometimes people do that. Blame the school that my kid's stupid. You know, really? Yeah, our school system's messed up, isn't it? How much do you read at home? How much do you sit with your kids when they were little? During the summer... Buy them productive books and just get them learning. If they watch things, just make sure it's a little more educational. Or do you just have to entertain themselves stupid? That's usually what parents do. It's not the school's fault. You know, when I taught baseball when my kids were little, I'd go teach softball to the little girls. And we'd always have a couple girls on the team, like they couldn't catch, you know. You watch the ball roll up the ramp and poof, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh. And so, I loved when a dad would come up and just say, my gosh, man, you need to learn her, teach her how to catch. Like, this is not good, you know. And I was like, well, Pops, I got her right now for an hour and 15 minutes once a week at practice. She lives in your home. You got to go to the backyard if you want her to learn how to catch and throw the ball. It's just that easy. Well, I've never played baseball as a kid. It don't matter. Figure it out. Come to practice, learn something, go home and teach it to your kid. I always welcome parents out on the field because it's their responsibility, right? Of course, they surely get mad at you. And then that's the same parent that comes later and just says, man, my kid wants to play first base. Why can't they play first base? Because they cannot catch. That's important. That's important at that base especially. I want to save your daughter's front teeth. So I care for her and don't want her to get hurt. Practice with her at home, and we might put her on first base. Maybe. Maybe. So, from a child, I was learning the scriptures. Mamas, man, my mom did the same thing to me. Me and my brother were wild. And she'd always say, hey, guys, by Friday, I'll give you $5 if you memorize this verse. And she'd write it on the chalkboard by a rotary phone, man, right there in the kitchen. And my brother's like, I don't care. Well, he was 3 years older than me. He'd go out there and scrap some money together. I memorized those verses, man. I wanted some money. Little did I know what it was doing is it's putting some real value in my heart. I quote them scriptures from the pulpit. I'm like, my mom taught me that. Good mom, right? Scripture. To your kids will know more about a sport or more about an event or more about a subject than they will about God's word. I never feared that people are like, yeah, we're going to pull our kids out of public school. You know what they're teaching in there? I got news for you. I'm not caring much what they teach because we teach in our home. And they would come home and say things. Or I would find out from the teacher that they would boldly say, every once in a while we get a teacher that's a Christian. She goes, yeah, we're in our science book. And your daughter raised her hand and told the whole classroom that. That's not true. Well, she learned that at home. She was indoctrinated at home. And some people think, well, that's bad. No, no. Your kids are going to be brainwashed. You know, I just want God's word to wash their brains. I'd rather wash their brains than have it washed by somebody I do not know. You know, I remember back when global warming, everybody was fighting over that in the political realm and making a big deal out of global warming. My daughter, I'm just like, here's what global warming is. And they had to draw this picture and all this stuff. So we did a big thing on it and not to get political, and there is opinions on this, I realize, but we just did a nice little sign. We made a sign on global warming with the big slash through it, you know. The teacher's like, what is this? She goes, I'm not sure we believe this stuff. I was like, hey, that's a good girl. It's okay. You can have an opinion, you know, but you got to listen to the other side too, you know. And we would just teach them to think for themselves, you know. So mamas, lean towards Jesus in the spiritual instead of leaning towards yourself and your kids liking you. That's why, put them to bed. I can't tell many parents, they have no structure for their kids because it's a child-reared home. Don't let your children make the rules. That's on you, Mama. I just want to encourage you. Lean towards the spiritual, right? We sing songs, read scriptures at nighttime before they go to bed in their little hearts and just prep them for the day. Some parents want to do the homework before bed. You know, they want to do that type of stuff. And you know how it is as adults, all that stuff we learned. You look back and you're like, man, I remember crying over that for 2 years in a row. I struggled in that class. And since I got out of that class, I've never used that stuff. What in the world? What did I buy into? Well, you bought into a lie. I'm all about discipline and learning things you don't want to learn. You know, we got it. That's what discipline is. You got to call it what it is. But the Bible says, don't forsake the law of your mother in Proverbs because mamas teach that scripture. Get your kids memorizing the Bible. That's what you do. Get them in the Word. Get them in the Word. Lean not towards yourself. You lean towards Jesus. That's the first thing I want to share with you today is lean towards Him. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says this. Just flip over a few pages. He says this, verse 1 or 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first and watch, thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded. Paul's writing to Timothy and goes, hey, There's an unfeigned faith in you that was in your mom, it was in your grandma. By the way, never mentions dad. The biggest influence on him spiritually was his mom and his grandma. The first thing it says is unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned means it wasn't fake. It was real. They had a real faith. You know what real faith is, don't you? Faith without works is what? That's right. So mom, you know what you do? You just don't teach the scriptures. You're modeling it. It's real to you. You believe it so much that you'll stand on it when nobody does. So this is exactly what he's saying. Mamas, Timothy, you're the real deal. You know why? Because your mom and your grandma were real. They had a real faith. And by the way, daddy's not mentioned, but you read the book of Acts chapter 16. When Timothy comes around, you know what you find? He comes from a split home. His mom was a Jew, but his dad was a Greek. It wasn't a perfect setup. So the second thing I'd like you to list about this passage here, leaning towards Jesus instead of yourself, lean towards the spiritual, is things weren't perfect. Don't think that. Life is not perfect. Even when you try to make it perfect, it's not perfect. There's always things that'll go wrong. So mom, especially, don't be fake. May your faith be real, right? Use scripture, model it, and just because things are not perfect. And at the end of this thing, I want you to know this. Let me give you just a third principle on Timothy here. Timothy, the Bible says, was a chicken. He was a scaredy cat. Paul had to tell the Corinthian church that Timothy's coming to you, but he's coming to you, and may he come without fear, because he's naturally fearful. Today we might call it, he's filled with anxiety. This is the same book as Paul goes down. Look down at 2 Timothy, look at 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Yeah, this is said to the guy that's fearful. Even though he comes from a home where his mom's faith was real, mom and grandma's. It was a split home, so don't blame when things ain't perfect. That's why we need a Savior, because our lives are not perfect. He's the perfect one. Amen? No perfect people are allowed in this church. Because if they walk in, they're going to ruin everything for us, ain't they? And then the third thing we find about Timothy in particular, and about off of this passage, is that you can be a perfect, God-fearing mom. Your little girl and your little boys are still going to have sinful quirks. They're going to be anxious. They're going to. Some of your kids are like, I don't know why my kid's angry. Like he's angry all the time. There's an issue there, right? And you know why? They're flesh. That's why all of our flesh, the Bible says, in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. So I just want to encourage you with that. Now, listen, I don't want to encourage you like it's okay. Because if your kid's anxious because you're anxious, it is time to grow up. It is time to get in God's Word and get this settled in your life. It's time to get in God's Word and get some victory. Not saying it's like a pill. Pop a pill and you're better, right? No, your body will flesh itself and you need another pill. That's why there needs to be some addiction. There's only one substance in the Bible that we should be addicted to. It's not heroin. It's not meth. Today it's weed, right? Because it relaxes us all, right? Nope. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the substance we need. That's the substance you give your children. But instead, and a lot of times we look at our kids, and the shocking thing about it is you look at your kids and you're like, why is she so jacked up? Why is he so jacked up? And then you look over in the mirror and you're like, that is why. Get victory over that. How do you expect junior to get victory over it if senior can't? They're modeling you. So is the Bible true or not? You guys remember when I preached that whole series on mental health? I preached that whole series on mental health. We lost three families when I preached that. Because they choose to believe modern psychology over what God's Word clearly says about some of these things. And then everybody says the same thing. Well, you don't understand. Because you've never had this happen. You know, I'm just like, okay. I'm preaching on good marriages, you know, and somebody's like, you don't understand because you've never got divorced. Well, I'll get right on that. I'll get right on that just so I can experience and understand it. Like, can I not preach the truth? Do I really need to be addicted to heroin to help a heroin addict? That's ridiculous. That's absolutely silly. God's Word is just true. Can somebody say that with me? God's Word is true. It's so true. Moms, please lean towards the spiritual instead of the physical. Lean that direction. But I get it. You got to warm them, hold them, clothe them, feed them. All them things true. Your kids are going to do those activities. There's a lot of physical. That's what gets us all messed up. I totally get it. That's why the Bible always says this. Children, obey your parents. Is that what it says? Children, obey your parents? Well, it does say that, but that's not complete. It says, children, obey your parents. Ah, there's the spiritual. You know why? It starts in the home with the physical. And if you can teach them to obey you, to fear you, respect, if you want to use respect, if you will give correction, if you will use the rod, like the Bible says to use it, if you will do those things, your kid starts learning lessons in life. And then one day, when they're old enough and they get a heavenly father, you will find your children being submissive to him because they've learned. They learned these things. And they won't despise even the correction of the Lord because they learned it at home. They learned how to deal with correction at home. That's half the battle, isn't it? It's not getting corrected. It's how to deal with it, how to process it. You know, you ever do that? You ever discipline a child and they melt on the floor? Bah! And I, like, man, things are like 10 times worse now. What's going on? Oh, your correction's not over. A lot of the correction, Hebrews says, is you teach them how to deal with the correction, how to take it. That's what Proverbs says. A wise man, a wise woman does what? They learn. They're easily corrected. It's the fool that despises correction, that won't take it. And the parents that look down and their kids will just say, I hate you and you hate me. You hate me. And there's moms that go, well, sweetie, I don't hate you. You know why? You're buying into it. You're trying to get their favor. And you kind of loosen up on that. I'm here to tell you, a good mom's going to lean towards the spiritual, know what God's word says. And yep, there's a lot of physical that you're learning. But remember, and your kids are going to have the quirks. It don't mean that you're doing something wrong. You know, man, my kid's not very good at reading. We've read to him since he's been little. Your kid might not be a great reader, ever. English might not be his thing. Some, man, my kids, even in junior in high school, they struggle with math. Man, why are my kids so stupid? Your kid ain't stupid. He's not so bright in math. But there's a lot of people that ain't bright in math. You know? It's okay. It's okay. Don't get weirded out by that. So anyway, you know, we got to kid our... I better go. We're going to be here till 2 o'clock on Monday. So if you lean towards the spiritual instead of the physical, mom, just want to encourage you to do that. And some of you are doing that, doing a great job at it. We got great moms in our church. Great moms, great models for all of us. But let me tell you this much. Make sure that you're training your children. You want them to be endeared to you, and they love you. And, you know, there's nothing better at. I love, man, when you watch even professional sports. You ever see a guy like, catches his first ball in the NFL, and you're like, yeah, boy! And you watch him look, run around looking. What's he looking for? What's he doing? He's looking for his mom to give her the ball. I love when I see that. It always touches my heart really deep to say, Mama, this is for you. Every mom wants that. But listen, as godly moms, you are basically training your kids to leave you for Jesus. You want them to fly. So when you want them to fly, you know what you're doing? You let out the rope a little bit more, right? That's what you do as a mom. It's like the mother eagle. You've heard stories about. They're like, man, these little eagles keep coming back to the nest, and eventually they'll abandon the nest. They'll destroy the nest and say, you can't come back here. It's time to grow up, you know? And so I just want to let you know that, mom, that not only are you going to lean towards Jesus instead of yourself, your kids are going to leave for Jesus and leave you. Leave you for Jesus. Train them to fly, to be independent without you. There's an insecurity out there where parents, and you want people, churches do this all. Well, you know what we do with people? We teach them the Bible. We got discipleship. Hey, learn the Bible. I'm not the Pope. I'm not the mediator to get to God. I'm not some grand wizard, know everything about the Bible. But a lot of churches want to convince you of that. I went to a service as a kid one time with a friend, and the whole thing was in Latin. I'm like, does anybody know what's going on? Nobody knew what was going on. But that guy up front sure knew. He was all robed out and like, whoosh. People would go by, and there was some incense. It was all super spiritual. I was like, Well, it took me years later to realize that nobody knew what was going on in that place. Nobody's lives were being affected. And then afterwards, this is the Immaculate Conception Church outside where I lived, on the same street I lived on, 16th Street. I come outside and I looked at that same father, that priest. He was out there smoking a cigarette. I'm like, my dad smoked cigarettes. And he wasn't like a godly man. I thought this guy had it going on. He's out there with Sister Hazel out there, and he's smoking a cigarette, you know. Like, how does this work? And then after communion, what about all that blessed wine in the back? Where does that thing go? I'll tell you where it goes. Yeah, Father Benny, he had a job, man. You got paid to do that? To get paid to smoke cigarettes and drink liquor. You either got to be a bar owner or a priest in that religion. Crazy, isn't it? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that we should leave our father and mother to cleave to our spouse. That's a hard one for parents. But there's got to be a separation there. So I just want to encourage you. You want your kids, you know, to bond to you and always to be needy. But what we really do is you want your children to fly. You want them to be everything God asked them to be. Paul even said in Galatians 4, I travail in birth till Christ is formed in you. Paul was wanting them to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As a church, we want you to know the Bible. We want you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And I've had people in this church use God's word. They'll come to me for counsel, and I'll say, dude, let me just tell you right now, don't do it. They'll say, well, let me show you what God's been showing me. I feel like God's leading me this direction. Here's why. And they lay it out. And you know, and it's not one of those situations like, you know, God told me last night that, you know, I should leave my wife. Well, that's clear in Scripture. We could all fight that and say that you're wrong. But no, somebody's standing there going, it's over a situation, and they show me. I'm just like, you know what? I am not God. I am not the Holy Spirit. You got the same Bible I got, and you're walking with Jesus. If you think God's leading you to do that, you know what? I'm rooting for you. I thought you told me not to do it. My counsel is I don't think I would do it, and here's why. I'd have biblical principles to show why, but they got big biblical principles. When it's not a hardcore biblical issue, you know what you say? They're the one jumping. Jump with all your might. Jump for Jesus. It's a walk of faith, isn't it? That's exactly right. We want our kids to do that. So, Mom, I just want to encourage you to do that. Be careful of you want your kids to always be attached to you and always, and no, make sure that they're willing to leave for Jesus. And, guys, you know, I'm saying this. I want to honor my mom. You know how I'm honoring my mom? She lives 9 hours away. You'd think if I was honoring my mom that I'd be a good little boy and move back and take care of her, wouldn't you? Well, the day's coming I might have to move her in with me. I'm almost down with that. But you know what? God called me to the ministry. And I remember the day I stood in my driveway and I said, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you, but I got to go. Jesus called and I got to go. And my mom will send me cards sometimes, and it'll say, that thanks for following Jesus. I really wish you were home, but I would much rather. You know, my brother that stayed home and lived with her, and Mom enabled him and just took care of him and ended up feeding him at the very end and paying his bills, and he died. She don't want that story to repeat, does she? No. So Mom's. And I'm just thankful. Even my grandma died. I'm in the middle of a conference, and my grandmother dies. They want me back. My mom calls me up and says, don't listen to the noise. Let the dead bury the dead, Mike. You preach that thing and then you can come home. I miss my grandma's funeral. Somebody'd say, what kind of son are you? I always wanted to be a man of God, not a man of my mom. But she's one of the main women of my life. Does that make sense? So leave mama for Jesus. I'm in Monmouth. She's in Barberton, Ohio. And the last thing I want to say on this one is make sure that you get your children to love Jesus more than they love you. Jesus had to come on the scene and say, if you guys love father and mother more than me, then you're now worthy of me. Whew! That's hard words, isn't it? Yeah, it don't mean that you. It's not saying, you know, like don't love them and abandon them. But a lot of people, they just love family more. And a lot of times Jesus, what about Abraham? God's like, I'm going to choose you and your family and make a great nation of you. And he's like, man, I'm all down with that. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to leave everything familiar, and I'm sending you to a promise. I got to leave everything familiar, all your family. Here's where I'm taking you. Oh, Wow, it's a hard call. So mom, just make sure you instill in your children the scriptures that they would love Jesus more than you. Guys, I want my wife to love me, but I want her to love Jesus more. And she wants the same for me. That needs to be the main man in her life. He's going to be the main man in my life. There's evenings I've been gone. I just hope the evenings I'm gone for, some of you are gone from your homes and you're gone for ungodly reasoning. If you're going to abandon things and important things like family, I just hope that I can look down and just say, well, I want you to know something. I know I haven't been home, but you know what I'm doing, what I'm teaching, or where I'm going to be at. This is for godly reasons. And she knows I'm not a man of Rebecca Blake, man. I'm a man of God. And I can't wait to get home because I miss you. Make sure we do that to our children. I love when, I just think of Mary comes along, Jesus says, Mom, and they ran out of wine at that wedding. Don't you like when they're like, she's like, just do what he tells you to do. I'm just like, yeah, that's exactly right. I want to instill that in our children. And moms, you want to tell your children, hey, children, you do what he's called you to do, even if it breaks my heart. I'm not going to like everything or you living distant. So anyways, there was three L's in there, right? Just make sure you lean towards Jesus, right? Lean towards the spiritual instead of yourself. Because moms, you got this heart. The Bible says when your kids go wayward in Proverbs, whose heart does it break? It always mentions the mom. She's there and it hurts. And so make sure that you teach your kids to leave you, but for Jesus. So lean towards Jesus in the spiritual. Leave for Jesus in you, even though it's going to be sad and grandkids are distant, all that stuff happens. But then at the end, I just want to give you this last one. I just gave it to you. I'm going to just repeat it. And that's make sure you teach your kids that if they do leave, that they leave for Jesus and you. They're willing to leave the home. And don't be one of those moms and in-laws that, you know, got everything wrapped up in the family. And family's everything, isn't it? I don't know what book you're reading. Be careful of that. That's a slippery slope. It really is. Be a man, be a woman of faith. Okay, mamas, as we leave today, there's all these moms and women in Scripture. Do you guys remember the first mom in the Bible? What was her name? Huh? Eve. That was the first mom. The mother of all living. That's what her name means. She had two boys, and one of them ended up killing the other. It's hardcore, ain't it? What happens in Genesis chapter 4, God comes along and says, I'm going to give you another kid. His name is Seth. I'm going to compensate you for losing one. So if you've lost some things through time, not even as hardcore as death or a murder, but you've done things wrong, I just want you to know today, like the story of Eve, the first mom, he says, we're going to start brand new. Every morning, God's mercies are new. Start new today. If you've not been a godly mom, you're not quoting scripture to your kids. My gosh, that should be, you know, the what would Jesus do? What's the Bible say? I say that all the time, still to this day to my girl. What's the Bible say about that? Well, Dad, I got a decision to make here. I don't know what to do. I'm like, my gosh, you're almost 30 years old. What are you asking? And she's like, well, I'm not sure what to do here. And I was like, what's God been saying to you? And she can pull out her journal and look at the last umpteen days of where she's been at. And then she'll later report to me and just say, you know what God's telling me to do? Dad, look what I wrote like 3 days in a row. Like, I need to have more faith, need to have more faith. You got your answer. You got it from your Heavenly Father. Do that. That's exactly what you do. This old boy's going to be gone one day, and she's going to be left behind. If I'm the main man in her life, she's going to drown. If he's the main man in her life, she's going to be all right. You see that, folks, mamas? So start new today. Sarah and Rebecca, do you know what they did? Couldn't have kids, but God said they were going to have kids. 30 years Rebecca didn't have children and wanted children and cried and cried and cried. You know what they did? They clung to the promises of God. So mama, cling to God's promises today. When things ain't perfect or if you got wayward children, you know what you do? Cling. Some of you want kids in here. You don't have them yet for whatever reason. Cling to God's promises. Bam, do it. Do you remember Hannah in the Bible? I want kids, I want kids, I have no kids, I want kids. She cried, you know, she asked God for kids. She asked for a blessing. That's what you do. Get on your knees, man, and you cry out to the Lord. You tell him your needs. You look at where your kids are at, and guys, listen. My wife She's got her pulse on my girls better than I do. I take a lot of my cues from her. Sometimes I feel like I might even have more influence on them than she does. So when I go and influence them, they say, man, Dad, thanks. And I always say, you go thank your mom. Your mom told me a week ago that I needed to take you out and talk about this subject. She was on it. And I'm here telling you, this is what God's word says. This is what you need to do. See, my wife. I was getting her to say my mom. She's not my mom. Becky thinks she's my mom. She is not my mom. She's not my mom. Becky, you're a good mom to these girls. You're a terrible mom when you try to mother me. And she always says, I feel sorry for your mom. Geez, you're difficult, right? Let's do it. Let's have some Loises and Eunices in the room. Have the next girl born in this church, we're going to name him Eunice. Unfeigned faith, right, you know? We're going to be like the homeschooled family. We're just going to name our kids all these biblical names. What's your name? My name is Eunice. All right. Eunice, unfeigned faith.